So, we're coming to the end of our vision series, and I just want to talk this morning about the title of the message is Faith for Action, Faith to See Breakthrough. Because we talked a lot about different aspects of the vision, what we want to do, things that we're aspiring to do, things that we know that we're not doing very good, but we really want to see. We also talked about areas of strength that are in the church, we kind of talked about the nature of who we are and what direction we want to go in. But without faith and without the breakthrough, as it were, breaking into new things, we're not really going to see the fulfillment of those things. So I just want to talk a little bit about faith for action, faith to see breakthrough. And if you turn to 1 John 5, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." How awesome is that? 1 John 5 verse 1 says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father," everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. You know, the good news is today is that we are born of God, that we've been born again for a great purpose, and we've been born again through the love and the generosity of Christ. We have the ability to be able to come to our Heavenly Father and bring our requests and bring those things towards him. And you know what? Not only do we speak to him, but he hears our voice. That's your inheritance. Can you, if you go back to that verse 14, that's our inheritance. Isn't that wonderful? That's the access that we have as Christians. You know, this isn't just a fake facade that we've got going on here, and that there's some kind of great big scam that is happening. This is the reality that you have as children of God, is that you can approach your Heavenly Father and you can ask anything according to his will and he hears it. I mean, that's a different level of faith, isn't it? That's a different perspective, a different outlook. Wow, actually, I can approach God and I can ask him, and I know that when I speak to him that he is going to hear me. Not the well he might do, and you know, if God's having a good day, he might just... No, the faith says that he will hear me. He will hear me. Faith says that I can approach God. Faith says I can be bold, not take him for granted. I don't mean that we should be those that are disrespectful to God, but that we're covered, aren't we, with the blood and the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, I can boldly approach him and he will hear me. Faith, that's what faith says. And God wants us to be those people that are faith people, that that living a life of faith and speaking faith and believing faith and rejoicing in faith and in rejoicing in our God, because life is so short and there is so much to do, isn't it? I mean, even Caleb was reminding me about how old I was. I'm 47 and I will be in August. And I'm 46 at the moment. But he was, yeah, I know. A few months ago, he watched something on TV. It's amazing how our children can recall things. Watching something on TV, and it was for it was walking football for 50 and overs. And Caleb said to me, he said, "How old are you, Dad?" I said, coming for 47. "Oh, you're almost eligible for that walking football." Don't remind me. And, life goes, doesn't it? So quick. Life is flying by so quickly. Isn't it? I mean, a few years ago, I was just 18. And now, life is going so quickly. There's so much to do. And so little time in one sense for us to do it in, but it's just being faithful, isn't it, to God, and living
a life of gratitude and of faith and just expectation that actually, yes, God can use me. He can, and he can use every single one of you. There's hope today. There's hope. You have access to God. You're born again to win. God's overcome and has given us his victory. He's conquered. He won it on the cross for us. There's another translation that says, for all that are begotten of God, they get the victory over the world. That's you. For those that are Christians, for us as Christians, we get the victory over the world through Christ. Wow. 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 Every day you can get up, well, I'm not feeling it today, or I'm not seeing it today. We'll rejoice, it's coming. Celebrate, rejoice, it's on its way. God, the victory that God has won for me on the cross, I'm going to see it, I'm going to believe it. It's going to be manifest in my life, even if I'm not seeing it now. I'm going to believe it because that's what the Word of God says. That's who he is, and I'm his representative to the world. The church is his representative to the world. Because unless we don't live lives of faith, we're never going to see the breakthrough. This is not having to do more. This is just believing what God says that we have already, that is already given to us. What does, in Matthew 5, verse 13, what does Jesus say about how we should live as Christians? You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everybody in the house. In the same way, let your light shine. 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 Let your light shine. Let your light shine. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds or your good works and praise or glorify your Father in heaven. That's your inheritance. That's what you've been called to do. That's what each of us have been commissioned to do. Wow. And we can shine because we have the endorsement of God on our lives. I don't care actually what you think about yourself. You need to start thinking how God sees you. How God sees you. You're valued, precious, anointed, accepted. It's wonderful. When do I know that I am ready to be called to this life? How do I know if I've got what it takes to live like that? Simple. Start by obeying the voice of God to you. There's a great man of God called Arthur Blessett. Have you heard of him? One of my heroes in the faith. He was a man that carried a cross across the world and had amazing adventures. And his Arthur Blessett, the Pilgrim book, is out of print now, but I ordered two. That's the wonderful thing about on Amazon. Secondhand, beat up, ragged books, but they're precious. And I bought one for, you know, Matt, the young guy who came from the Isle of Man. I was telling him, and I bought him a copy, and I sent it to him, and I've got one for me. And Arthur Blessett said, when you hear the voice of God, start being obedient to what he says. It's so easy, isn't it? When we hear the voice of God speak to us, be obedient to that voice. It's simple. And God loves faith. He respects it. He responds to it. But more importantly, he acts upon it. Do you want God to answer your prayers? Actually, it was interesting that we were at a men's conference yesterday and we were talking about marriage. And men, if you want your prayers to be answered, love your wives. That's one of the promises and the blessings that when we love our wives and we take care of our families, that our prayers, that God's going to hear us, that our prayers are going to be answered. Awesome. Are you happy with that, ladies?
Yeah.
Preach it, says Nori. Yeah, go on. Yes. He loves faith. But without faith, what does the word say? It's impossible to please God. And guys, how often do we go through life? And it's easy, and I do it, and we do it. Sometimes we go through life in our own strength, don't we? Well, you might not own up to it, but I'm going to own up. Yes, we do. Often we go through life in our own strength and trying to fathom things out and make things happen. And God's just saying, guys, relax. Rest in me. Have faith in me. Believe my word. Hear my voice. Be obedient to what I'm saying. Walk in my ways. Do exploits. Do great exploits for me. That's what. Now, we can do great exploits when we hear God say, go and do that thing. Can't we? And faith is not just what you have, but faith is what you do with it. Because God's given us faith for a reason and a purpose. So we can all say that we have faith, but there's an element that when we have faith, that now we put it into, that's what we're talking about, faith in action. Faith for action. It's not just what, of course I'm a Christian, I have faith. But it's not so much what you have, because you all have it. You've all been given a gift of faith by God. But what are you going to do with it? Because faith is what's going to enable you to see and do the impossible in Jesus' name, with his enabling and his anointing. And, you know, it's not just for the special people and for the equipped people and for the anointed people. It's for every single one of us, because you're all of those people. Dan was telling me yesterday of a friend of his who is an Anglican minister, and he went into a church and he got up the front of the church and he got out a box of dog collars. He was an Anglican minister. He was wearing his and he gave each person a clerical. I call them clerical collars because I used to wear one, so I don't call them dog collars, but dog collars, whatever you want to call them, clerical. He gave each one of those people in his church a dog collar. And said, now you are a minister and a priest unto God. It's not just me up here. Every single one of you is equipped. Every one of you is going to be released to go and function as a fully paid up, fully anointed, fully able minister of the Lord Jesus. And I haven't really got a dog collar to do that for you. But it's the same, isn't it? Every single one of you is fully equipped, fully paid up, fully able, fully commissioned, fully anointed by God to go and do what he's calling you to do. You hear his voice and obey. But have faith. Why don't you just turn to the person beside you, smile at them, say good morning. Tara and Jenny just using the opportunity to kiss each other. Please. Give it a break, right? Okay, turn to that person and say, Steve's trying to encourage you. Look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah,
when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. And by faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that comes by faith. So here is Noah in a time, supposedly when it had never rained. He builds an ark. What's going to happen? But you know, it says in Genesis 6 that Noah, there was a conviction. Noah had conviction. And you know why God was pleased with his actions? Not because he built an ark, but because he wanted to please him above everything. He wanted to please God above everything. I mean, that's a big thing, isn't it? To hear God and to be obedient and to do that thing. That's a big, big, huge step of faith. It's a challenge to us. I already said Daniel 11, verse 32, God wants us to do great exploits for him. And, you know, when we do that, when we put our faith in God, not in ourselves, when we listen to his voice and we're obedient to it, you know, you're going to see things that others are not going to see. Seriously, other people will sadly fall away, but you're not going to fall away. Other people are going to get disillusioned, but you're not going to get disillusioned because you're in faith. You're listening to God. You're hearing God speak to you, speaking life to you. Every morning he's speaking words of blessing and words of love and words of refreshment that are just going to restore your soul. Every day just being washed and loved. And, you know, it's a great word that Malcolm bought about, you know, being whiter than white. And only Jesus can wash us and forgive us of our sins. And if you aren't a Christian in this place today, or you say, actually, I'm not sure where I am, I can testify from my life that there is nothing, no greater calling on a person's life and fulfillment than to give your life in submission to Jesus, just knowing that you're a sinner. And a sinner means that you've just done wrong things that have actually caused damage and harm to yourself and put you in a place where you realize, actually, I need God to come and rescue me. And every single person here who's given their life to God has come to that point of saying, I need God to come into my life because I can't manage it on my own. And Jesus came and died on a cross because there was something called sin. And sin is just not meeting the perfection that God says that we should meet. Because, you know, we all know the Ten Commandments. He gave us the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. So it goes through, and they're impossible to keep. Why give us a list of commands that are impossible to keep? Because it throws us back onto the mercy of God. We can't keep the law. It's impossible for us to do it. If it was, we wouldn't need a savior. But because we can't meet the requirement that God says, then he sends Jesus. And he says, this is my son that I'm sending to die on a cross in your place so that your sins can be forgiven. And every single person, regardless of whatever background they're from, whoever they are, can put their hope and trust in my son so that when you die, and one day all of us are going to die and have to give an account for our life, we're going to, as it were, walk into God's presence holding the hand of Jesus, because he has become our best friend. Not only our best friend, but our savior. We're going to walk into God's presence, as it were, in one sense, holding the hand of Jesus, and we're going to stand before God, and God's going to look at us, and we're going to say, I'm not trusting in myself to be here. I put my trust in this man. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And because we're putting our faith in Jesus Christ, God's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come in. You're welcome.
come home. And actually, every single person, there's no one that lives forever, is there? Sooner or later, all of us are going to die and are going to go to stand in the presence of God. And that's why becoming a Christian and realizing our need of a Savior is the most important decision that every person can make. And if you're here today, I encourage you, the journey stops here, because you're not going to find truth and freedom and peace in any other religion, philosophy, or any other way, but it ends in Jesus. And you can search and keep going all of your life, but eventually you'll come round, because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And every single person who's given their life to Christ, they can testify that we have found the reality of Jesus to be so incredible. To have our sins forgiven, the guilt and shame washed away, like Malcolm was saying, we can actually enjoy life and experience life with a new perspective, because we've been forgiven. And no pill, no potion, no counseling, no self-help group, nothing is able to give you or me the cleansing that Jesus can bring. And there's nothing like it. I remember when I became a Christian, and I've shared this before, I came running back to my mum and dad. Mum, Dad, I've become a Christian. I was so excited. I actually felt physical weight of sin lift upon me, and I was only 10 years old. But what I was experiencing was just that God just removing that barrier of sin, that those things that I'd done wrong. And he removed it off me, and he restored relationship to me, and I now become joined with him. And he can do it for you. He can do it for you, and he can do it for you right now. But what it takes is our recognizing our need of a Savior. But the Bible and Jesus is great news. It's the best news. It's wonderful news. It's called the good news. It's so exciting. There was a story in Chronicles, and you don't have to put it up, but of a great breakthrough that David saw. And David was a great king, but he was a commander of an army, and he was he was the leader of Israel, and he was a man who loved God with a passion. And there was a anybody seen the pictures of the tsunami? Horrific, frightening, wasn't it? The power that there was, and the destruction, but the power that there was, and it was just an unstoppable force that we were seeing. And David said that the power of God that came into the situation to deliver him was like a tsunami of power. And he talks about that in Chronicles. And what is interesting with David is that David was an experienced leader and an experienced commander of the army. But in that story, it says that he inquired of God. He didn't just go in to a situation just because he had experience, but it says that he inquired of the Lord. And David didn't assume anything. Didn't assume anything was obvious. The enemies had come to fight against him, but he wanted to hear what God's plan was. And you know, I think that just ties in with what Peter was saying about sometimes we need to not just launch in to doing the obvious thing that we think that we've done before or we think that God wants. But actually, to see breakthroughs, we actually need to hear what God is saying to us. To hear, I think I know what I'm going to do. Hang on. God, give me your word, because when I have your word, I have your direction, I have your conviction, so I can actually hold on to that promise and I can really see
the breakthrough come. So David inquired of God. He said, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" He inquired of God. He asked God. He requested of God. And once God speaks to you, then you have faith. Yes? When God speaks, that's when we have faith. But often, you know, the problem is that we don't ask God about our circumstances and our situations. And I just want to encourage you, for breakthrough, we need to, and for faith, we need to inquire of the Lord. Inquire God. Hear his voice. You are made to hear the voice of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as I said, we must set aside time to ask and to listen. You know, most of our questions regarding our circumstances are, there's instructions in the word of God for us about the situations of life that we go through. Relationships, finances, whatever they are, they're clearly defined in the word of God. If we study it, look for it, and give time for God to speak to us. I was just thinking that God will never do anything that is contrary to his word. But, you know, often God does contrary to the things that we think he's going to do with us. Doesn't he? He will never go against his word, but so often we say, "Oh, well, I can't," or "I won't," or "It's impossible for me." And God says, "Ah, great. Now I want to surprise you. I want to do that thing that you think that you just cannot do." Because it just shows us again that he is just so far greater than we can ever think, ask, or imagine. You know, faith is not a blind leap in one sense. Sometimes faith, we step out, but actually, when we step out not knowing what the future holds, you know what? We're doing it because we have a God that we know, a Heavenly Father who loves us that cannot fail. And the Word of God says that, the Word of God is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. So sometimes actually we do step out and we don't know what the future holds, but we know that we have a Heavenly Father who is not going to let us fail, and he's going to let us down. Isn't that right? And it's important that we understand that. Faith plus obedience. Pray and obey. Hear and do. Those two things together. So if you're in debt, don't just carry on spending on your credit card. Pray and do. Faith and obedience. So if you're in debt, get that credit card. Get a pair of scissors. Make them be friends. Cut it up. Pray. Press into God. Hear his voice. But also, you've got a part to do as well. You've got a part to play as well in this life of faith that God's called you to do. Abraham, father of faith, received nothing from God until he put into action what God told him to do. He said, "Leave your father's house and go." And it's the same for us, isn't it? You are a people of faith. I speak it. I prophesy it. I declare it. That's your nature. And you receive it, yeah. Oh, we're going to get African here. Hallelujah, yeah. Woo! Don't get me started like that. I'm always having to be well behaved, yeah. But that's true, isn't it? That's who you are. That is your DNA. That is your character. That is what you're destined for. That is our outlook. That is our church culture. That is who we are. We're people of faith. And I want to just encourage you to remind you of that and to start operating into that and to press into God and to tune into God and to hear God's voice. And I'm going to just I'll end with this, James 2, verse 14 to 20. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute for daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give him the things that are needed for its body, what does it profit? Also, faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. But someone will say, well, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe me that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Faith without works is any work that does not initiate something, that does not bring something to birth. And God has got great, as I said, great plans and wonderful things for you to do and to fulfill in your life. And really, if we are going to see God do what he wants to do in and through us as a church, we need to really live life and live life to the full and live life as God has called us to live, with a different outlook to the world around us. God has placed within us his life, his spirit, and he wants us more and more and more to be living reliant upon him and not ourselves. And it's incredible and it's exciting, and we're going to see God do amazing things. So let's be those that live lives of worship, submitted to God and submitted to each other, ready to obey rather than give excuses. How am I doing on the crazy face front? I have a crazy face report from my wife each week. So I'm trying to cut down on the crazy faces. No, I don't need that encouragement. You lot think that I'm not trying to improve, but boy, I am trying to improve it. I'm trying to do on the... how many times have you seen me do the chicken walk? Not many times recently. No, have you? No. How many times have you seen me do crazy faces? No. I'm trying to grow up and improve. This is the improved Steve. Yeah. So thank you. Yeah. Ready to obey rather than to give excuses. I'm just encouraging you. Hear God's voice and be obedient. Step out. And the sad thing is that if we don't obey the voice of God and do it, you know what? God will find somebody else that will. And that's not a threat. It's not a threat by God. God doesn't threaten us, but you know, there's a job and a purpose and a mission that he's got to reach a world that are lost. And this is the reason he's put his church here for us. For us to do. To witness, to share, to raise up a strong, faith-filled, powerful, loving, dynamic community that are going to be impactful and bring transformation to our world. Let's be people that move at the voice of God's command, and let's live intentionally for our God and for our Savior. That everything that we're about and everything that we do is for him, to see his kingdom extended. But we're not going to see the breakthrough unless we realize actually we've been created as faith-filled, anointed people that are going to see the kingdom of God extended as we step out in faith at the obedience of God's word. So, ready to obey? Let's be obedient and not have excuses. And I'm not saying that. I really feel that is what the Holy Spirit wants to
say to us this morning? Yeah. To obey is better than sacrifice. Yeah. Let's just pray together. And if today you're here, I want to really humbly just ask you, if you're here today and you say, actually, I've never given my life to Jesus, but this morning I've realized that I'm far from him, and I've realized, yeah, I need to accept the invitation, because the Bible says that, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is knocking. He's knocking at the door of everybody's heart. He's knocking at your heart this morning. He's knocking. He says, will you let me in? Will you let me become Lord of your life? Will you let me wash you, just as Malcolm said, will you let me wash you as white as snow? Will you let me take away the pain? Will you let me take away the hurt? Will you let me take away the guilt? Will you let me take away the shame? Will you let me deal with the things that you're struggling with? Will you let me into your life? That's what God is offering you. And it is a free gift from God, but it cost him everything. So I want just to pray as together. And if you want to pray this prayer, and I ask you, please pray this prayer if you haven't, and you can invite Jesus into your life, and you can know the reality of having your sins forgiven and be accepted by God. Let's pray. You can pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love that took you to the cross. I thank you that you know me, that you know my life's journey. And I thank you that I've come to this point today where I recognize my need of you. I bring before you the wrong things and the bad things that I've done wrong. The things that people have done to me and the things that I've done to others that have caused damage. I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. And I bring them to you, and I repent. I turn away of those things this morning. And as I give you my sin and the things that I've done wrong, I thank you that in exchange you give me your forgiveness, your acceptance, your love, and your peace. And by faith this morning, I receive them as mine. I don't deserve it, but that is your free gift to me. I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with the power that I need to live this life. And I thank you that today my destiny has changed and I've become a Christian. I've become your child. I thank you that my past no longer has a hold over me. That you've given me a new name and a new nature and a new future. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. In Jesus' name, amen.